Hey, this is Steve Linsmeyer. Catch me weekdays noon to 2 right here on ESPN Jamestown.
Back here on ESPN Jamestown at NewsDakota.com. We are going to dive into movies. Of course, Warren is still out of the state. He is in Montucky spending some time with family. So we have called in our reliever. We could probably start calling him like the closer or something. It's Ace Sauerwein. How you doing, my friend?
You know, I'm a little envious of Warren on vacation. I'm just coming off a three-day weekend, and I'm sitting here going, you know what? I needed to talk movies today. This is exactly what I needed on my Monday.
Oh, there you go. I'm glad we could reel you in today.
Yep.
Because obviously July is a month filled with summer blockbusters. We saw, obviously, Toy Story 4 at the end of June. Now we're off and running with Spider-Man Far From Home. We'll see The Lion King this weekend. First, though, before we get into what happened this weekend at the box office, I want to get your take on Spider-Man Far From Home. You're a huge Marvel nerd, much like myself. I know you went and saw it opening night, even had to drive all the way to Aberdeen at like a 10 o'clock showing, but you made it there. You saw it. Let's break it down a little bit. What were your thoughts? And by the way, we are lifting the spoiler ban, so a spoiler warning. If you haven't seen it, you may want to pause this for right now and pick it up at another time.
Yep. I mean, it was. So it's been out a couple weeks now, I think. So, yeah, we definitely
get 2 weeks.
Yep. So we can get into spoilers. So, all right. So my thoughts on it. I overall really liked it. Now, and for me, I don't know why I always do this, but I always compare it to other Marvel movies, and I always like to try and rank them in my head, even though they change all the time. And what I'm seeing from a lot of different people is they're saying this is a top five Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, and I'm not ready to say that. I really liked it. I loved a lot about it. But top five for me, there's a lot of good Marvel movies out there, and I don't think I can put it in my top five yet.
Yeah, I would have to really probably sit down and think about, I mean, obviously, you know, you look at like, if you take the Avengers movies out of the equation, you know, yeah. Civil War is probably number one, Winter Soldier's in the top five, you've got Iron Man 1 and 2 up there. I mean, so you've got some movies, Ragnarok is probably in the top five or top 10 at least, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1. I mean, so you've got some movies that this would have to, you know, jump ahead to be in the top five. But man, I just off the top of my head, I'm thinking it belongs there because, I mean, this movie is fantastic. And I think Mysterio is a great villain.
Mysterio. So from when I read the comics as a kid, Spider-Man A was my favorite character. So I read a lot of Spidey comics. So and I remember reading a handful, at least, of Mysterio comics. And, you know, he's got the tech in the movie. He's got the tech illusion stuff where in the comics, like his power was just kind of like, I don't know, like smoke pretty much that just created illusions. But anyways, he was amazing in Far From Home. And I was blown away by how good Mysterio was actually worked into this movie. He was by far my favorite part. And I thought Jake Gyllenhaal, 10 out of 10. When you find out that Gyllenhaal is the villain, when he makes that switch and he gets the pair of glasses, Edith from Spidey, and he turns on, and he just goes into that almost like a jerk mode. I loved it. He was so entertaining. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal was awesome. And I liked how they folded in the elementals. Like they folded in a whole nother group of villains as these illusions. So it was kind of obviously a nod to, you know, to the comics, the fact that they didn't just, you know, make up their own monsters for this movie. They actually used ones that exist in the Spider-Man universe.
Yep. And again, I liked how they created villains from what Iron Man, you know, Iron Man's problems. Because Gyllenhaal, his character Mysterio, Beck, he worked with Stark Industries. He was the one who created what Tony ended up calling BARF, the augmented reality. So I liked that, how that was worked in, because, you know, Spider-Man was kind of the the predecessor or the understudy, I guess, to Iron Man. So I liked how that was still, you know, kind of worked in. Iron Man's impact is still being felt and whatnot. And yeah, I loved it overall. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was very well done. Jake Gyllenhaal was awesome as Mysterio. And so Warren last week was talking about that he thinks that Mysterio could be kind of a Loki level villain moving forward and kind of make some appearances throughout the MCU.
Yeah, so my thought, and again, if we're going into spoilers here, at the end, when Mysterio is seemingly dead and Spider-Man, you know, he asks Edith, like, hey, are there any illusions? And they say no. My thought was, okay, maybe he is actually gone. But my other thought was going, okay, they could have maybe hacked Edith or something along those lines. Maybe there is an illusion up. Because my thought was they're going to end up moving towards a Sinister Six plot where you've got, you know, the six villains and you have Vulture from the first movie. And then I'm thinking Mysterio, he might still be around. I'm not 100% on it, but that was just kind of my thought at the end of the flick.
Well, you've got half of the Sinister Six already appeared in the MCU. Yeah. I mean, you've got Mysterio, you've got Vulture, and you've got Scorpion who have all appeared already in the MCU. So a Sinister Six movie at this point feels almost a done deal.
And actually, if you kind of want to go a different route in terms of who you have in the Sinister Six, you had a Shocker from the first one. He had kind of a smaller role, like he was kind of the henchman to Vulture, I guess. So, I mean, you could say you have four, and I know that John Watts, the director, he just came out recently and said he wants to incorporate Kraven the Hunter into these films, so you could have five there. And I'm just speculating here, and actually I'm just wishing when we get the third Spider-Man movie and we get a Sinister Six, I want Dr. Octopus and I want him played by Mark Hamill. My mind would explode if I get that.
That's a good casting choice. I like it. It's going to be interesting to see. They have not really woven in the Osborns at all yet in the MCU. I wonder where that's headed.
Yeah, that's the other thing. What this movie did so well is it opened up so many possibilities now that Peter Parker's identity is out there as Spider-Man. I mean, who knows where we go from here? So you could go Osborns, you could go Sinister Six, you could go, I don't know. You have so many different options you can go with.
Yeah, it's the future of the MCU is up for grabs right now. We don't even know who the new big bad villain's going to be once we get to phase 4, 5, and 6, because obviously you had Thanos kind of overreaching the first three phases. Now, you know, who, like, where do you go to, you know, take over for somebody like Thanos?
It's, I don't want to say it's impossible, because I mean, it can be possible, but you could go Kang the Conqueror. I know he's been one, and he's kind of like he's kind of a time travel like villain. So I mean, that would kind of play in with the end of, well, actually with the entirety of Endgame. So you could go something like that. You have you could go with Galactus, the Eater of Planets. Those are kind of the big two that jump off.
In all of the stories that I've read where they're asking the question, who's going to be the next big bad? Those guys have both appeared all of those as well. So they're definitely at the forefront of potential big bads as we move forward. But the Spider-Man Far From Home, I honestly think I got to put it at least in the top five or six. I mean, wow. I thought it was awesome. I mean, I thought the way that the way the story played out, I didn't really like how sort of Spider-Man wanted to stay out of the fray. You know, I felt that after Endgame that he should have kind of already realized that, okay, somebody's got to step up here. And he kind of backed off from the responsibility a little bit too much, I thought.
Yeah, and for me, when I say it's not in my top five, probably, I mean, that's no shot at this movie, because like you said to introduce it, I'm a huge Marvel nerd. These movies, like even a Thor the Dark World, which is sought to be one of the worst, I still enjoy that, and I will rewatch that any day of the week. So, but yeah, I see what you're saying with Peter just kind of giving up on his responsibilities a little. I don't know if that really bothered, you know, and there, I don't really think there was a lot that did bother me in this movie. I think it was just really solid all the way through, but I don't think I put it up there with a Guardians of the Galaxy or with Ragnarok.
I'm getting a little nitpicky when I, you know,
right,
when I get to that point. But yeah, I mean, it's obviously been very well received. It's 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's at $847 million worldwide right now. It took the top spot at the box office with 45.3 this weekend. Toy Story 4 still in at number two right now, right behind Spider-Man Far From Home, 20.9 in its fourth weekend. I mean, that is some staying power right there.
That's Disney for you. Yeah, and I saw Toy Story 4, let's see, a couple weeks ago probably, and I absolutely love this movie. And looking back on all four Toy Stories now, they all hold up in their own rights. Like, if I had to give letter grades out, they're probably all A movies, which is incredible for a franchise that creates four movies.
Yeah, no, it is. You're absolutely right. And this one, I think a lot of people are saying is maybe the second best one to the original, is what I've been reading. I don't know what we're, I don't want to get into ranking it, because I haven't seen two or three enough times to you know, to really rank the four of them. But there's a lot of people that put this one right up near the top.
Well, it's funny. So I pretty much went on a Toy Story binge the week it came out. And I know it's probably very unpopular, but I actually have the first Toy Story as number four in terms of my rankings. And again, similar to Far From Home, that's not a shot to the original Toy Story. But like I said, all four, like if I had to give a grade, they're all A's. And it's just, it's kind of like, it'd be like 1A, 1B, 1C, and then Toy Story is 1D for me.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, I know. Like I said, it's probably not a very popular opinion, but the fourth one, I actually ranked second behind the third one, too. Okay, so I guess I go towards the newer movies, apparently.
It seems to me that the second one is sort of universally thought of as the bottom.
Yep, I would agree with that. And for me, I think it's more of a nostalgic thing, because when I was a kid, that was the one I had on DVD, and that was probably the one I watched most. So I think there's a little nostalgia for me for that.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, we had two movies open this weekend. We had Crawl open with $12 million. We had Stuber opened with 8.2. Not a great showing for the Dave Bautista, Kumail Nanjiani flick about the Uber driver named Stu, which they delightfully named Stuber. I do kind of want to see it, though, like, because I like Kumail Nanjiani, and I think Dave Bautista and him together could be pretty funny.
I want to like it because I do like Dave Bautista, and I'm an old wrestling fan, so I liked him in his WWE days and whatnot, but I can't get myself to even think about going to see this movie. Like, it just looks terrible for me right now.
Well, and that's because it's surrounded by so much potential greatness at the movie theater these next last couple of weeks, and now moving forward into this weekend. And a little bit of disappointing start here for The Lion King, which will open up on Friday. Just 60% on Rotten Tomatoes, 5.1 score on IMDb, and this is, of course, led by Jon Favreau, who also directed the Iron Man movies and plays, of course, Happy Hogan in the MCU. And now he returns directing The Lion King after The Jungle Book. And this is a movie that has a lot of nostalgia for a lot of people. It stars, you know, Donald Glover, Beyonce, Seth Rogen. There's a bunch of great cast in this movie. But right now, it's just not getting very good reviews.
Yeah, and that's kind of disappointing for me. I was hoping that it was going to be amazing because the cast is awesome. Like you said, Glover and Rogan and John Oliver. Like, they have some really good names in this movie. I like Favreau. I mean, he created one of my favorite movies in Iron Man. It's just, I like you said, too, I've seen very little good stuff on it so far, but who knows? I mean, we haven't seen, you know, most of the general audiences haven't seen it yet, or all of them pretty much. So hopefully maybe it'll take a turn this weekend.
Well, let's read some of the negative reviews. That's always a fun thing we like to do on this segment. Mick LaSalle with the San Francisco Chronicle wrote, "A film that is stunning to look at, even inspiring at times, but dramatically bizarre." I mean, I don't know how it gets too far away from the original story to be bizarre.
Yeah, I just because it's bizarre, does that mean it's bad? Because I would argue.
Yeah, there must just be some parts that, because I know they've added about a half hour to this movie as compared to the original. So maybe that kind of takes some twists and turns.
Yeah, maybe. Cause maybe it is just like weirdly bizarre where it's not even good. But I'm just thinking, I don't know. A bizarre movie doesn't mean it's always bad for me.
Here we go. Another one. Jonathan Hickman with the Daily Film Fix. Call it Disney nature becomes Disney narrative as African cats morph convincingly into the Lion King. But the more and more real things look, the more my mind kept thinking about the real circle of life. What are these people like? Like, what does that even mean?
I think they're getting way too deep. I mean, come on. We're talking about a Disney movie right now. Like, are we actually supposed to be contemplating what the circle of life is?
I guess. Huh. And this guy, and then this next guy is talking about, perhaps it's just me, but I'm tired of stories of genetic destiny. They had their place, but surely the human species has outgrown the appeal. Which, I mean, makes sense. And he's probably, you know, talking about Game of Thrones and that whole deal and how nobody is, should be afforded anything based on their genetics or who they're born to. But, yeah. I mean, so that makes sense a little bit. But, again, that's just getting way too deep for a Disney film.
Yeah, I was going to say we're talking about lions and I don't know. We're not going to look too far into it.
We're talking about lions, a movie about lions inspired by Hamlet. I mean, we're not exactly talking about, you know, about a masterpiece here.
Right. Yeah, I do get what that guy is saying, but I don't know if I necessarily agree. Sorry about that. That was R2-D2 popping up on my computer. I don't know what the heck that was. Anyways, he is looking way too far into that.
It'll be interesting. I'm going to go see it this weekend. I mean, have to, right? I mean, it's a Disney movie. It's going to make a ton of money. We know that for sure. It's just a matter of how people are going to receive it, which I think will be pretty good. I mean, all the other Disney movies have had great success coming on into the theaters live action.
See, and shame on me. I have not seen Jungle Book and I have not seen Aladdin yet.
Oh, Aladdin's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's just it's a really fun movie. Will Smith is really good and Naomi Scott is a freaking, I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah, no, I want to see it. It's just, I don't know, you end up wanting to see this movie and this movie and this movie, well, and I just never got around to it.
And that's part of the reason why I'm a little bit, you know, disappointed that they pack all these movies into the summer all the time. I know that more people can go, like, I get that, but if people want to see the movie, they're going to go anyway. I mean, they're going to get there. They're going to find a way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I always think for, like wintertime, I mean, it's freezing. Like, what else can you do? You can't really do a lot outside, so why not go and catch a flick inside instead?
Yeah, exactly. No, that makes sense. Well, Ace, I appreciate you filling in for Warren today. Always great to talk movies with you.
Absolutely. Have me back anytime.
That is Ace Sauerwein from our KDDR studios in Oaks, joining us here on ESPN Jamestown, filling in for Warren as we wrap up another edition of Movies.